Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the papers. It's 6:16 in the morning as I record this. It is April 3rd, 2024. I'm Richie Allen. Thank you for downloading the podcast. I'm a little bit bunged up this morning, full of cold, but not feeling bad at all, just full of old cold, so you might forgive the tones this morning. We'll go straight to the front pages, as we always do. Now, the papers, the front pages today are dominated by events in Gaza, and this is the Israeli strike on an aid convoy that has killed 7 people. So we'll talk about it briefly. I'll run through the front page headlines. The Guardian, charities halt Gaza aid after drone attack kills 7 staff. So the Israeli airstrike that killed several foreign aid workers, the lead on The Guardian. The paper is warning that the humanitarian crisis gripping Gaza could become even worse because aid organisations have paused operations there following the deaths of these aid workers who were working for World Central Kitchen. UK demands answers after Israeli strike kills 7 aid workers is the headline on The Eye. And some of these aid workers are photographed. 3 Britons among those killed. The UK Foreign Secretary David Cameron has called on Israel to urgently explain the circumstances of the attack. The Daily Telegraph PM demands answers after Israel airstrike kills Britons. Same again. The Daily Telegraph reporting that Sunak has told the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he was, quote, appalled by the attack. But this is nonsense. This is mealy-mouthed crap from Sunak. I'm appalled. I'm concerned. We want explanations. Neither the UK nor the US is going to punish Israel, as it should do. So there's a lot of hyperbole on the front pages of the papers today, people expressing concern and how appalled they were. But nothing will be done about it. Financial Times, Tesla. As a story about Tesla on the front page of the Financial Times, we'll leave that. Daily Express has a photograph of a destroyed car, one of the cars in the convoy, in the aid convoy. 3 Britons killed on Gaza Mercy Mission is the headline. Daily Mail, 3 UK forces veterans killed by Israeli strike. Daily Mirror, killed trying to feed starving kids is the headline. The Sun, SBS hero killed in Gaza air strike. The Times, photographs of the 3 Britons. Outcry at aid worker deaths is the take on The Times, which leads with Sir Keir Starmer. It also on the front page of The Times is a pledge by Keir Starmer to build houses if Labour wins the next election. The Metro headline is "I'm a bid of an idiot" is the headline, and this is a story about a guy called Craig Stevens who lost £1,000 after repeatedly bidding against himself to buy a painting at an auction. He was doing it online and didn't realise he was bidding against himself. That is the Metro. And the Daily Star headline is "Fridges are snitches" on the front page of the Star. And that's about developments in domestic surveillance, something which is bad news for midnight fridge raiders. We might come back to that if there is time. So those were the front pages, as I said, most of them concerned with or dealing with the attack on the aid convoy in Gaza. So just before we move inside the papers this morning, just to mention that the broadcast media this morning and the news websites are leading, all of them, with the 3 British aid workers among 7 dead. They've named them John Chapman, James Henderson and James Kirby were among the 7 World Central Kitchen workers killed This is according to the BBC. I'm reading from the BBC news website now. The Prime Minister, as I've already mentioned, and it is mentioned by the BBC, said the deaths appalled him. Israel says they were killed by an unintended strike. The team had been leaving the Deir al-Balah warehouse. They had unloaded about 100 tons of aid, according to the charity. The convoy was made up of three vehicles, including two that were armoured, which clearly displayed the charity's logo. All three were hit during the strike. And the concerning thing here is the charity itself says that all of the movements of organisations like the World Kitchen organisation, the World Central Kitchen, they would be coordinated at all times with the Israeli authorities. So they're saying it's deliberate. And I have to mention, because it's important to mention it, and it came up on the Richie Allen show yesterday, Dr. Nick Maynard is a surgeon, a British surgeon, who has worked and is working in Gaza for years now, long before October 7th. And he said this to LBC Radio yesterday.
There is no doubt at all that multiple healthcare workers have been executed there in the last few days. Over 450 healthcare workers have been killed. Friends of mine that I have worked with over the years, many have been abducted as well, and nothing has been heard of them since. My multiple trips to Shifa Hospital over the years, I have never seen any evidence of Hamas militant activity.
That was Nick Maynard. So Israel deliberately executes health workers and aid workers, according to Maynard. That's according to him. I don't obviously have any... I've never... obviously, I can't say that it's absolutely true because that wouldn't be right, but I suspect it is true. All right, we'll leave that one and we'll go inside the papers then and see what we see. So we'll stay with Gaza. Here's one in The Guardian. Not a normal war. Doctors say children have been targeted by Israeli snipers in Gaza. Now, this is according to doctors, okay? Dr. Fozia Alvi was making her rounds of the intensive care unit on her final day at the battered European public hospital in southern Gaza when she stopped next to two young arrivals with facial injuries and breathing tubes in their windpipes. I asked the nurse, what's the history? She said that they were brought in a couple of hours ago. They had sniper shots to the brain. They were 7 or 8 years old. The Canadian doctor's heart sank. I'm reading the article now, obviously in The Guardian. These were not the first children treated by Alvi, who she was told were targeted by Israeli soldiers, and she knew the damage a single high-caliber bullet could do to a fragile young body. They were not able to talk, paraplegic. They were literally lying down as vegetables on those beds. They were not the only ones. I saw small children with direct sniper shot wounds to the head as well as in the chest. These were not combatants. These were small children, said Alvi. Small children, paraplegic, spread out on beds, vegetables, with gunshot wounds to the brain. The Guardian goes on to say the children account for more than 1 in 3 of the tens of thousands of people killed in the months-long assault on Gaza by Israel. More than 1 in 3 of the dead are children. Tens of thousands of others have suffered severe injuries, including amputations. And The Guardian says it has received accounts from 9 different doctors, accounts of working in Gaza hospitals this year. Their common assessment was that most of the dead and wounded children they treated were hit by shrapnel or burned during Israel's extensive bombardment of residential neighbourhoods. But the doctors also reported treating a steady stream of children, elderly people and others who were clearly not combatants, with single bullet wounds to the head or the chest. Some of the physicians said the types of wounds and the locations of the wounds led them to believe that the Israeli troops and snipers were directly targeting children. It's disgusting, isn't it? It's disgusting. What else is there to be said about it? Nothing, really. I can't find any new words to describe what's going on in Gaza. And you know, Netanyahu is talking up that no matter what is said by the US or by the UK or by the European Union, let alone the United Nations, which is unilaterally passed. Well, the UK, the US abstained, of course, but it passed the resolution for to call for an immediate ceasefire. Despite everything, Netanyahu says we're going to proceed and push further into Rafah and basically kill more and more men, women and children there. And nothing will be done about it. Let's move on to the Times. J.K. Rowling will not face prosecution under Scotland hate crime law. So Police Scotland confirmed yesterday that the author J.K. Rowling will not face prosecution under new hate crime laws after she made a series of posts calling trans women men. On Monday, you might remember, she used Twitter to call or to challenge Scotland's police to arrest her after making the comments. In response to Police Scotland's statement that she would not be arrested, Rowling said she hoped women in Scotland would be assured by the decision. And you know, since these laws came into force on Monday, would you believe it? I've been looking into this morning. Police Scotland have logged more than 3,000 complaints in 2 days. 3,000 complaints. Basically, people phoning up or emailing the police to tell them that they were offended by somebody's hurty words. I'm not making it up. All of the newspapers are reporting this morning. 60 reports per hour, apparently. Callum Steele, the former General Secretary of the Scottish Police Federation, said the true figure could be as high as 3,600 complaints. What did Police Scotland say? Well, we will investigate every report made under the law, which became active at midnight on Monday. The Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Act has been met with objections from people like Elon Musk, Rishi Sunak, Nigel Farage and Andrew Neil. The legislation, according to the Times, well, we know this in any case, consolidates existing hate crime laws and creates a new offence of, quote, stirring up hatred against people on the grounds of age, disability, religion, sexual orientation and transgender identity. Amazing. It's amazing. And Alison Pearson has taken this on in The Telegraph in a vicious opinion piece, it must be said. Hamza Yousaf, Scotland's First Minister, Yousaf, hate crime laws have turned Scotland into a nation of snitches. Stalin would be proud, says Alison Pearson in The Telegraph today. She writes, and I'm not going to read all of it, Monday was April 1st, but from now on every day is April Fool's Day north of the border. The ridiculous yet deeply sinister Hate Crime and Public Order Act has criminalised any speech which could be construed as stirring up hatred. It introduces offences for threatening or abusive behaviour which previously only applied to race but is now extended to any protected characteristic. We've mentioned them already. Disability, sexual orientation and transgender identity. But, writes Alison Pearson, not the female sex, funnily enough. No less than 411 third-party reporting centres for hate crime have been set up across the country, where Scots can dob their fellow citizens in for alleged offences against Liberal group think. First Minister and SNP leader Hamza Yousaf, a one-man protected characteristic, writes Pearson, has simultaneously turned Scotland into a nation of snitches and effectively made any criticism of him or his religion illegal. Stalin would be proud of you, Hamza. Hope the construction of the Hebridean Gulag is proceeding apace. You're going to need a lot of camps to house all those prisoners guilty of wrong thing. Strong stuff by Pearson, but you can't really fault any of it. It's exactly what has happened in Scotland, and it is coming to a country, to a city, to a town near you. They're trying to bring it in here in England and Wales. The same law. The online safety bill is just another version of this. You know, what you can and what you can't say, because it may or may not hurt somebody based on their protected characteristics. It might harm them. Discussion of things, you know, voicing your opinion on matters, political or otherwise, might be construed as stirring up hatred against groups, even though you might be criticising. You know, you might decide to take on some aspect of identity politics. You might disagree with rules and laws and regulations and anything. And another person, any person, can contact the police and say that they believe, in their opinion, that your criticism of whatever it is you are criticising was motivated not by your just, you know, desire to criticise something because you feel it's worthy of criticism, but know that your motivation was, you were motivated by stirring up hatred, that your real intention was to stir up hatred against a protected group or other. That is where we are. It's not an exaggeration. Pearson's piece is good in The Telegraph today. Here's an interesting one in The Express. Locals live in fear as UK's roughest village run by killer kids who rip apart pigeons. And this is a story in The Express about lawlessness. In a place called Blakenall in Walsall in the Midlands, locals are living in fear with their village run by killer kids who rip apart pigeons for fun. Residents in Blakenall, which is in Walsall, say that now even buses and taxis won't come to the area. Young people reportedly stab each other, ride around on mopeds and throw bricks. Last July, a 7-year-old was killed in a hit and run by a 14-year-old boy on a moped. A 13-year-old boy was blinded permanently after he was stabbed by another boy with a kitchen knife. On one occasion, a live pigeon was torn apart in front of staff and customers outside a shop. The urban village, says The Express, is home to just 15,000 people. Locals have told the paper they fear leaving their homes owing to feral gangs of youths running the streets with no consequences. The Express doesn't go on to say whether it has spoken to the police in Walsall to get some sort of explanation as to why this kind of thing is going on. And it's going on seemingly without any resistance from the police. But a shopkeeper who asked not to be named said since COVID the situation has become a lot worse with large groups of kids, the older ones with motorbikes, and they are intimidating. And a number of newspapers in recent months have run stories about coordinated attacks by massive groups of children, many of them sometimes in school uniforms, storming shopping malls or town centres and basically kicking off. Have you seen this? It's a phenomenon which is, I'm not going to say it's very, very common, but it is a phenomenon where groups of kids coordinating all of this on phones turn up, often from different schools, turn up to a town centre somewhere or a shopping mall, invaded basically, you know, wrecking shops and harassing people, assaulting people. If you put those search terms into Google, you'll find lots of these incidents. What's going on? I'd love to know, to be honest. It's something I might get into with somebody who works with children. But this is an interesting one in The Express. It says this town is basically lawless in Walsall, with children doing the most extraordinary things with no consequences. And that's in The Express today. Lockdowns. What part has COVID played in this behaviour? And here's an absolutely fact. I'm going to pause while I blow my nose. I'm properly bunged up. Hang on a sec. Yeah, I've paused for a few seconds there while I cleared my nose. I'm very bunged up this morning. Here's a really interesting one in The Independent. I'm fascinated by this. And I'm going to try and track down the gentleman in question. Former CIA psychic claims he identified the area where missing boys' remains were found. So this is an amazing story. 2-year-old Emile Soleil disappeared from a family reunion at his grandparents' house in Le Vernay, which is a small village in the Alps region of France. The Alps, this Haute-Provence region of France. I've butchered the pronunciation, right? You can look it up. Alps, this Haute-Provence region of France. Le Vernay, it's a small village with around 125 residents. So he disappeared last July. There was a massive manhunt, according to The Independent. Drones were used, sniffer dogs and helicopters, but they couldn't find him. they just couldn't find him. Exhaustive search for the kid. But his remains, sadly, were discovered on Saturday, only a half a mile away from the isolated family home. And a man called Major Ed Dames, who worked for the CIA, has spoken to The Independent. And he said he traced the boy's whereabouts in a matter of 2 days using remote viewing. Do you remember The Men Who Stare at Goats, which was written by John Ronson and featured General Bert Stubblebine, who ran a unit at the CIA for years? Remember, and if you're a long-time listener to The Richie Allen Show, you might remember me interviewing Bert Stubblebine before he died. The interview was set up by Dr. Rima Labo, a regular guest on the show, and Rima was married to General Bert. And he ran this unit where they looked into the paranormal, and they were looking into it by way of using it and using supernatural techniques in warfare, right? And one of the things they did was remote viewing. Well, anyway, Ed Dame said, look, I found him, he said. He even showed the Independent and the Sun newspaper. He showed them emails he sent to police in December showing the approximate location of the young boy, Emil. He developed this paranormal skill while at the Joint CIA and Army Psychic Intelligence Unit, which inspired the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats. He said, it took me a couple of days. I jumped on it immediately. I knew this is a serious case and the sense of urgency is high, and he is not being contradicted by the police in France. I find this amazing. I'm really fascinated by this. So he said, look, took me a couple of days. I emailed the authorities with the precise location of this boy, and that is where he was found. I'd love to get into this again on the show with people who, on the Richie Allen Show, with people who worked, you know, at some of these CIA, these joint CIA US Army. And I'm sure this is something that's occurred to me. The British Army, the French, the Israelis, whatever, the EU. There isn't a European Union army yet, but we know they want one, don't we? They must have looked into such matters as well, and had their units where they looked into this whole paranormal, supernatural kind of thing. We know that way back, we know the Nazis were big into it, weren't they? So that's fascinating. We're definitely going to get into that. Really interesting. In The Independent, former CIA psychic claims he identified the area where missing boys' remains were found. Now, The Times. White House asks NASA to create time zone for the moon. Inside The Times, this is interesting. Astronauts and robots venturing to the moon will be able to set their watches to a whole new time zone under plans being drawn up by NASA to set a unified standard of lunar timekeeping as the modern space race heats up. As NASA prepares to establish a sustained human presence on the moon under its Artemis exploration program, the White House has instructed the agency and other federal authorities to work together to coordinate efforts to create LTC, which is Coordinated Lunar Time, which will be a benchmark in cosmic clock watching. US leadership is defining a suitable standard, one that achieves the accuracy and resilience required for operating in the challenging lunar environment, and it will benefit spacefaring nations, said Arati Prabhakar. Arati Prabhakar is the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. He released a memo. Timekeeping on Earth is centered on Coordinated Universal Time, a 24-hour standard based on solar and atomic time. But due to general and special relativity, the length of a second defined on Earth will appear distorted to an observer who is on the moon. And therefore, we have to develop a new timekeeping standard for the moon, says this White House guy. That's interesting. Very interesting. I'll ask the question I've asked a million times whenever the moon comes up. Are there any recent high-resolution photographs taken by, I don't know, by any nation that has landed anything on the moon? I've never seen one. I often go online to look for, you know, recent, and by recent we don't mean yesterday or last week, but within the last 5 to 10 years, where are the high resolution photographs from the lunar surface? And you can't find them. Not easily, in any case. I'm somebody who doesn't believe that man has ever set foot on the moon. I don't believe it. It's a funny one, that. I've dedicated time to it on the Richie Allen Show over the years. I'm not convinced of it, but there are those who tell me I'm mad, and that obviously they did land on the moon several times. And the reason they haven't gone back, or one of the reasons they never went back, was money. And because after going to the moon 6 or 7 times, taking back rocks, what else was there to do? But I don't believe it. And they were due to go back there next year, weren't they? But then they cancelled that. They've shelved it. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating. It'll be fascinating. Looking at the BBC News website, it's dominated by the aid workers killed in the attack in Gaza. There is a story about the actress Kirsten Dunst. She's come out and said, she's talked about the major pay disparity between female, between actresses and actors. And she's also mentioned in an interview that some very inappropriate things were said to her by directors when she was a teenage actress. She's a pretty good actress, Kirsten Dunst. You don't see her very often at all in films these days. Mysterious streaks of light seen in the Californian sky is an interesting story on the BBC News website. People across Southern California said they saw very, very strange streaks of light moving across the sky in the early hours of yesterday. It's unclear what caused the light. Some people on social media said it might be debris from a SpaceX launch or a module from the Chinese Shenzhou 15 spacecraft, which was due to enter the atmosphere yesterday. But the BBC has video of it, as filmed by onlookers in Southern California. It is kind of interesting. That's something I'm always interested in, anomalies in the sky. Also a story about China, which will have 300 million pensioners soon. BBC wondering, will the Chinese be able to afford to keep these pensioners? So that's pretty much it for the papers and the news. The broadcast news media this morning, Wednesday, April 3rd. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. And thank you, as always, for sharing it with other people on social media. I'm going to go now and try and clear up this bunged up nose and throat of mine. The Richie Allen Show will be on air this afternoon at 4 o'clock UK time. So until then, from the BBG, it's bye for now.